good afternoon. This is Martin Grenzebach, and I'm here to talk to Suzanne Hilzer-Weil about the Giving USA recent data release on giving in our country. Another record year, $390 billion, extraordinarily generous population. And in particular, talk with Suzanne about giving to higher education and some features in particular that affect higher education. Suzanne, one of the trends we note is that there's an increasing reliance on individual giving. I think it's at 72% across all sectors. What do you think this means about the future, and particularly with the transfer of wealth that is underway? And will we be able to continue to sustain individual giving with future generations?
Thank you, Martin. You know, I think that's an interesting question, and it's come up a number of times even in the last few weeks with clients. I do think we'll continue to see individual giving as a focus in philanthropy grow. And one of the ways that my clients have been thinking about how to engage those next generation of donors, people who maybe are not quite ready to make a major gift but probably will have capacity to do so soon, is to focus on leadership annual giving and maybe smaller major gifts, getting these people excited and ready to make their first big commitment to the institution. Just yesterday, I was with a client where they talked a lot about very important principal gifts and then a culture that has a lot of small dollar gifts. But without that sort of middle of the pyramid, they haven't done a lot to cultivate people and get them excited and engaged just before they're ready to make that really big gift.
Thank you. So one of the things we know, both from this Giving USA report and from other data generated by the Center on Philanthropy and the Bank of America surveys, indicates that a couple of things. One, that something we know from the data, and we know intuitively that volunteers give more. We're not sure that's because they volunteer, because they give, but nonetheless, those who volunteer give more. And secondly, that people are volunteering in greater numbers. And the question for you, Suzanne, is what are the ramifications of that truth for our clients? I think it represents both an opportunity, but also perhaps a challenge for them.
Thanks, Martin. And you and I have talked about this with some of the clients that we've worked with together. Often we'll hear from a president or a vice president, they've seen this data, they know it's important, but volunteers are time-consuming. It takes a lot of time and effort to really provide meaningful volunteer opportunities. I think the institutions that have done this really well would say that, yes, in fact, it does take a lot of time and effort, but in fact, the return on investment for those clients is huge, exponentially. They're seeing returns in terms of dollars, commitment, willingness to be ambassadors for the institution. So I think our clients that are doing this really well are being creative and trying to move beyond some of the traditional models, thinking about not only what is a volunteer committee structure, but how can we actually give these committees or individuals meaningful work to do. And that plays out differently across our different client environments, but I think needs to continue to be a focus. The other big takeaway I would draw from that is, don't be shy about asking your volunteers for philanthropic support. Occasionally, we work with clients, and I would say I probably see this more in the cultural sector, where institutions will think, well, the docents are giving so much time and energy to this institution, we shouldn't ask them for a gift as well. But when we actually do analyses of that, of those groups, we see that, in fact, many, many of them are donors. And in fact, they give more frequently, and they give, you know, joyfully as they become more engaged as volunteers. I think that's another thing to remember, particularly when you have institutions that might shy away from asking people to, in fact, be committed in more than one way. As you point out, we're not sure which causes the other, but we know that as one increases, so does the other.
You refer, in effect, if I could summarize, to two kinds of volunteerism. One is volunteers that help us do our engagement and our advocacy roles, which we are responsible for in many instances within our institutions, within our advancement structure. They help us to raise money, and they help us with our alumni programming. They help us to communicate to some degree. Sometimes they help us politically. So that's one array of volunteerism. There's another array of volunteerism that is more programmatic. It helps us with students and the experience that students might have, helps us with placement, might help in managing or seeding some internships, which isn't, none of those are our responsibility. Nonetheless, if we can facilitate volunteer opportunities of the right kind with the right prospects, it can be extraordinarily, maybe even more meaningful. But the question here is, how do we get our institutions comfortable with advancement or development professionals providing suggestions on more robust volunteer engagement strategies that relate to the mission of the institution?
Well, I think part of it is advancement educating colleagues across the institution about why it matters to an advancement. I think sharing some of these statistics and showing that these two things do drive each other. In fact, donors are much more likely to be reliable, enthusiastic volunteers, and at the same time, volunteers who are working across campus are much more likely to offer financial support. That's probably a piece of information that many people on campuses don't even know. So I think that's one thing. The other thing is, and we hear this from our advancement colleagues, that when things don't go well in those campus engagements, advancement is often the place that people go to talk about it. So they can provide really great feedback, not only on, you know, how these programs are being experienced by the volunteers, but in fact, what kind of ways would volunteers like to, alumni, parents, friends like to interact with the institutions. So I think they should be seen as a creative partner in some of that as well.
Thank you.
So Martin, I'm wondering, as you read the Giving USA report, what stuck out to you?
Well, one thing that always sticks out to me, I guess, is that first of all, as I said at the outset, I'm impressed by how generous our society is in our country and how we do things to help ourselves. It's really quite extraordinary. On the other hand, I'm surprised that we don't do better, and believe it or not. And I'm surprised not that I think we should do better, but we have all this data on the looming and, in fact, underway transfer of wealth. We see, even though a bit of a downturn this year, in the generation of very, very, very large contributions, unlike we've had in prior decades until maybe the last 10 or even 20 years. We see very significant individual leadership in terms of the giving pledge, and billionaires and centimillionaires standing up and saying that I'm going to give away half of my net worth, and not only doing that, but setting a trend for doing that, that hopefully will be copied by those who don't have quite those amounts. And one wonders why we don't see an acceleration in the number that's greater than the modest growth that we see year after year. I don't know how to explain it, is what I'm saying, but one has the sense we're in a very good time for philanthropy, based upon our client results and the results of the campaigns that they have underway, and yet we don't see the overall data ticking up at a more dramatic rate. Surprises me. What's your thought?
Yeah, I agree. I find it interesting, too, because it seems to really kind of just mirror what you would expect a sort of normal annual increase might be. There's nothing really extraordinary there. It seems counterintuitive, especially when we look at some of the extraordinary giving stories that came out in our country, particularly in the last few months of the year, when institutions that were maybe more political or tied to social issues experienced a huge upswing in contributions and yet you don't really see that reflected in overall growth. I find that interesting as well, and it'll be very interesting to look at what the 10-year trend looks like on that.
Yeah, I think that in terms of the use of the data for our clients, other than some insights they can get from it, it continues to, of course, tell the story that individuals are the backbone of philanthropy in this country, and that even in education, probably the greatest growth segment is going to be individuals, though in education, particularly large research universities, about half of their productivity is typically from individuals. And it's encouraging that that is growing, not at a dramatic rate, but it is growing as a share of the pie.
Martin, thank you so much for this discussion today. It's been very interesting.
Well, thank you, Suzanne.